So let me tell you that we started off the set with Mueran Humanos with a relatively new release. I actually don't know if I've played that before. Maybe I have. Called Cadenas de la Infancia, which means Chains of the Infancy, from the album Reemplazante, which I don't know what that means, but I should. Anyway. And then we heard Hawkwind, Mirror of Illusion, from the record Hawkwind that came out in 1970. Hawkwind freaking rules. If you don't think so, slap yourself across the face right now because you need to wake the hell up, my friend. All right, so listen. First, I want to say, Joe Magasco, pack up your things because I know you don't want to hear this again. Joe Magasco, host of Surface Noise, has heard this song probably too many times for his liking. But I love it. So I'm filling in for Scott today. I'm almost done here. I'm usually on Tuesdays from noon until 3 p.m. If you're new to the show, I hope you will listen or listen in the archive to my regular show, which is much like this show, except maybe more emotional. All right. Without further adieu. I don't know why I always say without further adieu, because it's without further ado. And someone got really mad at me on the comments board last time. For what reason? I do not know. Just let me be me, you be you. And let's just do that. All right, so it's Royal Trucks again. Whatever. It's so good, though. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Oh, my God. I'm so excited for the few of you who maybe haven't heard this before. You're going to love it. All right. So my name is Michelle. This is my last song. I am really happy to be here. I'm fading, though. And I'm excited to play this on Feeling.
By the way, I spell my name with one L.
And that was Royal Truck's cover of Kiss's Beth. Ugh, kills me. I love it. And that's the end of the show. So thank you again for hanging out today. I really do appreciate your company. Hopefully Scott will be back next week in his spot, and I will be back Tuesday, high noon until 3 p.m. I got to stall for time a little bit. I will tell you that Hardy White is up next. Great show. I'm sure you listen to that all the time. Why wouldn't you? And after that is Bailey's show, Mahogany. Bailey is one of the chillest men you will ever meet in your entire life, and I just wish I could even have 1% of that man's chillness, because he is so cool and so chill. And just, like, cool, like he doesn't try. And his show is pretty amazing. So just stay tuned forever, because this is WFMU, and we're the best thing that ever happened to radio. And I can say that, and I mean it. So thanks again for hanging out. My name is Michelle with 1L. You've been listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, and online at the one and only WFMU.org. Normally, I really do end on time, but we have 40 seconds to kill, and I have absolutely nothing to say. So I want to thank everybody again for chipping into the fundraiser and for supporting WFMU Freeform Radio. We're listener-supported, we're a community station, and we are non-commercial, and we always need your help. So I appreciate everyone chipping in, people who cooked, people who brought cookies, people who brought Rice Krispie treats, people who bought chocolates, and the like. All right. Hopefully I'll see you Tuesday. Thanks again for being here. Stay tuned for Hardy White.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now for a full hour of sense and nonsense. A guided tour. Oh, show went long. I have a story for you. And like all New York stories, you don't have to believe it. And by New York story, I mean maybe a story of New York or a story set in New York. New York's story, or maybe the story of the New York's story, or a story that is New Yorkish. Now, you can believe it or not, Ripley said that in the movie Alien. But why would you not believe it? Because anything could be possible. Now, is there jazz playing? There is in my head. And there's fingers snapping. I can hear the bass right now, the strings resonating. Can you hear it? Why didn't you put it in? Well, maybe it's already there. Like the sound of the subway. I have a sound effect for that, but if you're on the subway listening to this, it's redundant. Maybe this whole story is redundant. Maybe you've lived it. Maybe you saw it. And I don't need to recount it. It's just another old New York story. And it goes like this. You're standing on a corner. I'm not going to tell you which corner just yet, but it's in Chinatown. Now, why do they call it that? They call it that because it butts up against what used to be a body of water called Collect Pond. And the reason they call it collect pond is because it's a corruption of a native word. And that word means fresh water. Yes, that's why they call it Chinatown. Now, maybe you're on the corner here and the main street there is Mott Street. And you're standing sort of very near what could be the oldest tenement house in New York City. It's from the 1820s. And there's an apartment for rent right now for about, only $1,200. It's just really a room, but I feel like I could get my whole family in there. And if I had a dozen people, they could make $100 a month selling something. I know that we could get our hands on kazoos, and then we could paint them in fanciful colors or to look like insects and then sell them. Why wouldn't anyone buy them? And they'd be supporting an entire family. Well, just their rent. What would we do for food? We could grow our own food. Where? Let me tell you the rest of it. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but there's the regular subway in New York City, and there's a secret subway that was built in the, 18th century. Well, that's the 1700s. You know how that works, right? Yeah, but this was the end of it. So let's say, why are you doing that if you're reading? Because that's right there in print, as is what I'm saying right now, 1790s. Might have been the turn of that century. The entrance that I am most familiar with was under the Singer Building. Now, the Singer Building isn't there anymore. They tore it down. They also tore down a building called the City Finance Building. It is also no longer there. Now, why would they do such a thing? To build a tall, ugly square building. Because we were taken over in the 70s, between the 60s and 70s, by aliens that completely had a different idea of architecture, because what they were doing were making little pods to make food creatures. Now, I'll get to that later. But that is also not why architecture changed. But that's a little joke that we tell in the fanciful underground tour business. Now you say underground. Walk with me, if you will. Now why aren't you telling me where on Mott Street this is? Because it's a secret. But that's not the entrance that I'm familiar with, as I say. But you can't get to the Singer one anymore. And you've got to enter it from a different area. And along there, there's a little shop. And you can go in the shop and you walk in. And there's an old man sitting at a counter in the back. The shop is almost empty. The walls are covered with pieces of paper, but the pieces of paper are blank. And when one wanders willfully and wobbly into it, you will get the feeling that there is something that you have to know. You have to be in the know to be in that shop. The man will look up at you once and only once, and that's when you deliver the signal. If you don't have the right signal, the right code, you'll be dismissed, and you'll never be granted entrance. But if you get it right, now I'm not going to tell you what it is. He will put his head back down, but this time he will stand up. And he will walk behind the curtain, and you are to follow him. And when you follow him, he opens a door, and there's a staircase down to what looks like an old, dank stone basement. And when you get to the bottom, it lights up automatically, just like people's modern rooms do. And you think, what is this? Is it Bluetooth? Because you only vaguely kind of know what that is, but it might be some advanced technology, or it could be just an old motion sensor. Now they've had those since the 70s, and this place looks as if it could be that old. 70s? 1870s? I followed the old man, and he remained silent the entire time, and I could hear his footsteps on the stone or concrete floor. They were leather shoes. Not a lot of people wear leather-soled shoes anymore. And I could be wrong. He could have just put thumbtacks in his sneakers the way we did when we were in elementary school. Why would you do that? Because we wanted to be fakers. And by fakers, I mean sort of Hindu gurus who use pain tolerance as a way of achieving some sort of meditative state. So we would put, that's what I was told, we would put thumbtacks in our shoes. But I don't think that's what this was. I think this was like my Uncle Bumps used to have these shoes, leather-soled ones that he'd get from a catalog, and he'd wear them every day to the Campbell Soup plant in Camden, New Jersey. But this wasn't Camden. We're not in Camden anymore. We are in the heart of Chinatown, on the edge of what used to be the Collect Pond, before the people were invaded. And now we are beneath it, in what I believe to be not man-made tunnels at all, but natural tunnels that were discovered by original inhabitants who were not about to divulge their location to just anyone. No, these are secret tunnels. And the secret is passed on through the ages, because it could be abused. And so I followed the old man through the tunnels. Or, excuse me, one follows one's old one man through one's tunnels. And I was anxious to see what it would reveal. And we kept going, and it revealed what looked to be an arcade, mixing all sorts of architectures from all sorts of eras. I saw, for instance, something that looked like a big Art Deco mosaic. See, because suddenly the ceilings vaulted, and sometimes it looked like a Gothic cathedral. Other times it looked like some sort of giant subway station or train station. I couldn't believe it, but there were little shops, and it seemed to be inhabited, and it continued this way for a long ways, and I knew that's where it came out at the Singer Building. And I knew that the Singer Building was launchable. And by that I mean, yes, it was a vehicle. And it could go up and out for as far as we wanted it. And this was the culture that was enabling that. They were working down here in their shops. The chocolates are magnificent. I can't even describe the velvety texture of it. It still has a sort of bitterness, or just a hint of it. The sweetness is not there, and it is there at the same time. It's very, very hard to convey. It's a sort of equivalent of putting your face in the earth, but then the earth being ice cream. I don't know another way to describe it. I had asked the shopkeeper about it. How is this done? And they said, this is a secret of underground New York. And I said, when I thought people said underground New York, I always thought they meant like bands I didn't understand. A lot of times you go to a place, you say, what's it's? There's a little record store, and it's in like a basement, and it smells down there. What's it smell like? It smells like your uncle put all his 60s stereo stuff and records there in the 60s, and then he died in Vietnam. And then Grammy and Gramps just kept it there. And that's what it smells like. And you say, well, who's paying the rent? And you go, Grampy made a thing, like a trust. So now, and you can't buy it. You can look at the records, but you can't buy them. But there are, you can go perform there on whatever you can make a guitar that has put nails in it. and go play that. Now, that might also connect up to the below tunnel system. And you think, what you're describing sounds like maybe underground Atlanta. No, it's not a mall. Like, that's a icky. Think bigger. Think, and by bigger, I don't mean area. I just mean think more grand, more ambitious. That the tiles are rookwood. Everything is handmade and made by artists. What are artisans? Artisans are people who make a thing that you can put in your bathroom, like soap or cheese or tiles, gargoyles. What are artists? Artists are people that make things for the rich. Well, my friend's an artist. Let me see. No. So let me get back into the tunnel with you. I'm hearing this in my head again. What is the finger snapping? I think it's somebody who's impatient with me in a menacing, rhythmic way. I believe from the movie, there's a gang movie. It's been, I think, outlawed because it's got the center of it is gang violence, and the name will occur to me in a minute. East of it, I was going to say the East Village story. One of the areas. Financial District story or something, but there's gangs in it. East Side. West Side. West Side story. West Side? West Side doesn't have gangs, does it? Well, this is wealthy. Upper West Side. I don't know New York real well, but I know that even the wealthy had gangs. The Astors were in a gang. That's the name of the gang. And it was spelled with two S's. And back in the day, that was, train notay. But they would do violence, and they'd get together, and they'd snap. Now, they snapped. So this is what you're used to in the 60s, right? Gang, right? But now, in the Astors' day, it would be boom, 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 like that. Threatening, still threatening, but waltz time. Now, New York, I hope you're walking through. Are you doing the walking tour of New York with the old headphones? The headphones I recommend are, if you can get any, from a language lab from the 70s. And they're made of radioactive bakelite or something. I don't know if you remember these, y'all. Maybe they're from the 60s and we still had them in the 70s and 80s. But they're hard as a rock, and maybe they're from World War II, I'm in the field right now. Hitler, I see Hitler. I started to get the back of it. That kind of headphone. Wow, they've had headphones back then. Yes, now they're in the language labs and state schools across America. And we say, écoutez et répétez. I can't hear what he's saying. Écoutez et répétez. But those are the best now. It turns out they're very good. Earbuds are scary to me because, there was a Douglas Adams had a thing where you put the Babel fish.
Babel.
Babel. Where was he riding? Where is he from?
Babel.
It's Babel. He's not from New York City. He put the Babel fish goes in there, right? It's Babel. I'm going to say Babel like that. You don't say Babber. It's Babar. Why can't you hit the all syllables, get the accent? Because it's too egalitarian and people get mad if one of the syllables isn't accented. That's dumb. I'm going to start not, it's hard to do, but I'm going to try to incorporate it into my speech. I can't. I'll be so self-conscious, nothing will come out of my mouth.
Oh, that's a treat for us all.
You can stop teasing.
Where's the tunnel going?
I'm getting to that. Good gracious. A lot is going on in New York City. Things get built up and they get torn down. The Jerome House, which I think was near Madison Square Park. Madison Squared. It used to be a cube. And now it's, that's what the squit was squared and they dropped the D. But Winston Churchill's grandfather, his mother's father, Mr. Jerome, I forget his first name, to be honest with you. I know it's out there. I'm going to say Baruch or Caesar or something. It's some crazy thing. Had a house right there. It's not there anymore. They tear down these old houses. But that wasn't even half the size of the mansions that some people had. Charles Schwab, he was a steel magnate. Now, most magnates are made of iron. But, and he was in the circus for many years and did this. And things would just pop onto his face like that. They started making credit cards out of metal. And it was very, he got accused of things, and that was his downfall. But stuff would, children would flick bottle caps at his face, too. It's ugly being a magnate like that. No, that's not what that means. If that were true, then that was that man who was the ice king. His name escapes me because it was like Charles Smith or something like Plain. And he was the ice king or an ice magnet, that's my band from high school. I never thought I'd hear that name again. Crazy. We used to gig in these little places in Chinatown that would only sell one record. That's a lie. And that's a lie. But there are places in suburbia like that, but they're in much bigger spaces. And it's always some fella who's taken his life savings and rented what used to be a dress for less and put all his records in there, and it lasts about a month. Oh, my goodness. But let us descend more into New York. And how can we do this? And how can they build subways? It's because, and you've heard this word before, bedrock. Now, you're saying, I've heard that word before. Well, there's a town you know where the hipsters go called Bedrock, isn't there? Twitch, twitch. And the twitching's fine. That's the theme of a show we all grew up on because it was very cheap and they like to give children cheap things like chips made out of nothing and cereal made out of sugar. And the sugar's made out of children. So it's a loop. It's a circle of life. And we give this all this cheapness, Flintstonian cheapness, but what it really is history. Because the Flintstones really lived, and they lived on the island of Manhattan. And we know that now as Manhattan. But the cocktail used to be called Manhattan cocktail. And the things that had in it aren't consumable by humans anymore. First of all, the water had to come from Collect Pond. And by the 19th century, that was full of poo. If you've seen Gangs in New York, then that is an accurate representation of just how long people's shirts were. And if they tucked them in, you didn't notice this. But in Gangs in New York, there's one gang say, "Oh, gotta let them out, governor." They talked still like the old country. I can't remember. They were Irish, but they hated Irish or something. That's pretty difficult. But they all were here now. Who knows what was going on? Listen, that was in Five Points. Five Points is in Chinatown. There were the tunnels there at the time of the gangs in New York, and because the gangs accessed them. You see a hint of this in the movie, The Gangs in New York. And you'll see Liam Neeson in there, and he's saying, "I'm going to get revenge," but he doesn't. He dies. Oh, I'm spoiling it. Do they all die? I don't know. But I just want to give you a heads up. At one point, the fella who keeps retiring from acting, he taps his glass eye with a knife. And that got me. Because I have grown up seeing Un Chien Andalou, and I thought for sure that eye was going to split open. And when it didn't, I got disconcerted. I thought, what has gone? Why didn't it cut open like in Buñuel? And it's not Buñuel, man. This is real life. And things don't always happen like that. We are beneath those streets. And it's at the intersection of everything name has changed now. I'll go looking for it. You'll be right in the middle of somebody's living room then, because they move things around a little bit. Also, everything has just moved in space. We don't realize that. So that time isn't even there anymore. Because I can't explain how it works, but it's all related. Space and time. You didn't invent that. No, but I think the person who did is in New Jersey.
Einstein?
Einstein is in New Jersey.
Not currently.
He's not currently there. He is concurrently there, which means that his effect has been felt in New Jersey. Now, I realize that it's, you know, flowing the wrong way down the river there, but doesn't matter. Oh, my goodness. It's so good to be able to be an unreliable tour guide. Where are you walking around now? What building are you looking at? If you're looking at the Woolworth building, I'm going to spare you some suffering. They don't let you in. It's not the wood. It isn't even Woolworth's headquarters anymore. And also, you're thinking of Walgreens. That's Walgreens, because I don't think they have. Because I went to look. There's a couple places I wanted to see. I say, I'm coming to New York. There's a few buildings I need to see. Five and Dime headquarters. Are they around? And I was trying to think of businesses from my youth that might be established, like the Singer Sewing Machine building. I thought for sure it would be there because it's been in my family for years. Say, you ask for entrance, you say the code word, they take you into the tunnels, there's shopping. Do your shopping there. I was all grew up learning that. And there'd be buggies. There's buggies to get around. You can get all the way to the part of Manhattan where the it's all shanties. And you go, it's called Upper West Side. Why do they call it West Side? Well, they don't call it that yet, do they? No, there's no Central Park. It's something that people don't know about Central Park. Not only is it all man-made, those aren't real trees. Nothing there is real. I know it was put in and sculpted, and it was what it was put over was the Lenape had actually had pavement there. It's all paved for ball games, and they wrecked it. And the pavement was made of native siltstone or something like that. Listen, how do I know they're artificial trees? My nephew used to work at Disney, and they make worlds say, welcome to stranded boy, little boy, orphaned, stranded in the woods island. I don't remember the name of the show, but I always thought as a young lad that that would happen to me. Stripped nearly naked, you will be left on an island with pirates. Oh, okay. So I should I get used to that idea? Sure. Thank you, Disney. Then they create this world, literally, but they have to do it out of, I guess, fiberglass. I can't even imagine how many. Hey, we need some Imagineers, because the other ones, they keep dying of lung cancer. Why is that? Because they get to pursue their life dream of getting those fiberglass fibers in them. That's how they take the art in them. That's why I like to work with clay and other things that you can ingest if you get exuberant enough. Because sometimes you're making your art and you're going like, I need to stick my face in it. You can't do that with oil paint and everything. So sometimes I will create, if I do paintings, I make pâté, make some kind of pâté. And they used to make the dyes out of things like that. Everything was edible. No, not so much. And I like to work in papier-mâché, and that can be completely edible. If some of the paper, paper's debatable. I know that geophagy is the name of earth-eating. People like to eat clay and everything like that. I'm sorry, clay, but it just is. That's just the name. But there's a name, I think there's a paper one, too. But, don't know. I'm not even going to guess what it is. But if your paper's made of other things, for instance, there was a guy on TV and back in the day, kids, his name was Yul Brynner. And he'd come on and go, did you know that you could eat a Torah scroll? like that because it's made of vellum. So it's made of sheep, basically. So you could eat, well, you wouldn't want to, but you could eat it. It's like beef jerky. Don't ever do that. I think that's not, if you do that, then the whole congregation has to fast for a month. So it's not worth it. But other things you could eat, you can eat paper, is made of trees, it's plant. Don't eat the synthetic paper. I don't know what that's made of. Or don't eat the paper. This is really what you don't want to eat is thermal paper. For a while there, they were thinking, and this is in the facts, the era of facts. What? We don't have facts anymore. Tell me about it. No, F-A-X. There was a machine, fax machine. I know what that, everybody still knows what that is. I'm sorry. Excuse me. But we used to have our fax, even back then, hooked up to a 3D printer. And this is in the 80s. But it doesn't mean, 3D doesn't mean what it used to be. 3D used to mean the magic eye puzzles. And a lot of times you'd get things, you'd get your instructions from headquarters in magic eye. And now that's why a lot of us have to wear glasses, because we have astigmatism. Listen, I'm not making myself very clear. And the reason is because if you're on a tour, there's a lot of work that you have to do yourself. Now, there's this notion that you're going to walk by a building. Let's say it's the Willworth Building. Let's say it's some other building. And I'm going to say, that one there is Beaux-Arts. That one there is classical architecture. That one there is neo-Gothic. That one there is neo-Gothic. Though I'd just like to point that out, that if you look at the windows, they've got these little finials and everything on it. Just like you're in, just like, what's the one in London where the people, where the parliaments are? Not parliament, Funkadelic. Which one is it? I can't remember. One of them is just merely ceremonial. So in England, they've got two. They've got Parliament, which is actually gets the work done, where they go, tell her of the mother, tell her of the mother, like that. And then there's Funkadelic, where it's merely, you can inherit it, I think. So people come to those roles through their parents. I think actual P-Funk is like that. I don't imagine that. Does anybody know? Oh, my goodness. Hello, Mr. George. If you are there in Tallahassee, oh, thank you for your service. But I think aren't there generational members? Aren't there people whose parents? I could be absolutely wrong. But Mr. George is at that age now. He's and I don't mean this, it's not pejorative, but he's in his senescence like all of us. Well, we're all senescing, aren't we? Everybody's aging. But he's, you know, my generation that had people my age as babies. They didn't have them as babies. They didn't have me as baby. You know what I'm saying? I'm their baby. I'm your baby, George Clinton. Not really. He's going, could be. Where are you from? He's never played there. If George Clinton played Bermuda, well, that is news to me. That's a beginning of my opera. It's a light opera, meaning nobody will come see it. But I might go do it for friends. And that's how I feel about my cave tours. Where is the old man leading you? Well, Once the old man leads you into the arcade, you don't need the old man anymore. He has to go back to work, because he kind of guards that entrance to the tunnel. So I'm down there and I'm wandering around. The first thing I got was chocolates, like I said. Then moving on, because really why I wanted to explore, like, how far this thing goes and talk to some people who live down here. Sir, do you have a moment? Oh, yes, I'd like to. No, I'm not going to. It's weird. There's some gas down here. I'm going to do Cleveland radio from the 60s. No, I'm not. I'm not going to interview anybody, man on the street or anything. I'd be my own man on the street. I always thought, what a waste of time to do anything real on radio. Because I can't say. You get the city sound effect and you go out there and you know, sir, what do you think of current situation?
Oh, well, I don't have much to say.
I guess that's no good. Maybe you'd have to That's where real people surprise you, because they sort of come with material. You only have to have one half of a play, and other people complete it for you. Now, some of them will come at you with a monologue. They've prepared a monologue already, and they're just waiting for you to say, "And your plans, sire," like that. And then they go, my plans are this. If ever there was to be a satisfaction, and they've done it, and they can do it in meter, which is pretty remarkable. And but you let them go. But other people lack a sort of dialogue, do they? Yes, they do. How so? Well, they might ask questions.
What kind of questions?
Well, it's weird when it's one-sided. Then you feel like you're being grilled.
Grilled? How so?
Well, you know, like just maybe one person is the interviewer.
How am I interviewing you?
Well, by everything that you say is a question.
Is it?
Well, you tell me. That feels strange. People also who like that, who are good listeners, I'm convinced, and I said this on the radio last week, and it's part of my story. I think they're secretly taking your story and they're going to put it in their book. And the reason I think that, and you say, well, that's highly unlikely. Don't you think a lot of yourself? No, I think little of them and their fiction, because they know, say, well, I'm going to write this book, nobody's going to read it, and especially the person that whose story I took. I know that I've had journalist friends who's like, who think that's okay if they go, friend told me a funny story. And then they tell a story that you've been telling in bars to get a self-deprecating laugh. And then you think, whose story is it now? Now, I'm not possessive. You know that I like to steal art. I don't mind. And I've probably, the reason I say that is because I probably steal jokes, because you see something's funny. It's really hard to unthink it, unsee it, and you know. And everything's the same anyway. And there's a line between doing something and doing a parody of it, and are you really doing a parody of it, and is it really ironic, or are you really doing the thing? That's another line. I don't know where it is. Is nothing a line? Line, more accurately than line, what we mean is that some things are walls, and can it be a wall that can be scaled or vaulted, or is it a speed bump? Is it something that only seems, if I come at it timidly, it seems bigger than it is, but if I really just hit it like that, then, well, I launch a little. You launch somewhat. I know that I am descending into caves, and I'm telling you about what's under New York, and maybe I was under the oldest tenement building in New York, maybe in the U.S. And maybe I'm shopping for gifts. That's a toughie. You know, we say, I need to shop for gifts. We don't have something specifically in mind. Books of Underground New York. There it is. So I spot this place called Books and Pamphlets of Underground New York. And now if that was above ground, underground means something different above ground. But underground just means New York. So that's extraordinary to me. So I want to see the history of this place. I would love to know, does it have its own millionaires? Did Charles Schwab, after he was destroyed, now they say, oh, he died poor in this small building. Did he? Maybe he came to a place like this?
So I used to be a horrible, excessive millionaire.
Well, it was a million.
Yeah, but I'm saying it would be a billion now, granted. And down here I've made a different life for myself, and I have found luxury in service.
Service? Service of what?
Service of others.
Oh.
Yes, I'm a cannibal.
Oh, I'm your how-to-serve man.
No, I'm kidding. I mean to help one another. And I was inspired by, I was shown this Kurosawa movie about an unfortunate man at the end of his life, and he said, I want to do some good.
Listen, that's what art can do, and it has happened to people in just from a good mosaic. I've seen there's a tile mosaic, and, you know, I saw one time in Cincinnati at the Union train station, and I looked up there and I saw an Art Deco mosaic, and it was of stevedores of all different ages and eras, and they were moving sacks of corn and all sorts of wheat and things like that and bringing goods, and I was saying to myself, I need to be hefting a big gunny sack of gunny corn and contributing by
heaving and flexing my muscles like those muscular gents up there. Fantastic. And look how sinewy. How do you do that with tile? I wonder. You know? And I imagine as the tile masters are up there, with their, I don't know what's called, mastic, and they're laying the tiles on, or I don't think they're the broken type. I imagine that Gaudi, Antonin Gaudi, in Barcelona, Spain, making all sorts. If you go to the Gaudi Park there, he's got all sorts of mosaic, and he was breaking his wife's, "Why, Gaudi, why you break the dishes like that?" she'd say. And he'd say, you know, "Quiet, Mario. It's a Catalan name, I think." And then he'd break her dishes and he'd say, "I'm making this exquisite mosaic. You should see what I'm making with silly sand. An entire cathedral. It's all drippy. It's wonderful. It's a nightmare. I call it nightmare Gothic or something like that. And it will never be finished in my lifetime, but they're going to knock it out soon. They're going to let's just knock it out, get it done. That's the modern way. It's like these intergenerational projects. Who has time for that? And massive but quick erections like these monstrosity buildings in New York. And that is why we descend. And that is why we go beneath the streets. And we are on the edge of what was the Bowery. And the Bowery Boys, which were not a gang, but a choir. And I'm pretty sure when I was a child, you know, we would watch things on television that had originally been in movies for basically our grandparents or something like that. So children brought up in the 60s were brought up in the 30s. So the whole time, you know, I believe this is to be true. And you watch, you say, these Bowery Boys, these Three Stooges, you know, like, boy, we're going to whip Hitler when he comes. That was the way it felt. And then you identify with the grandparents a lot. Say, I need some, is that sport coat too loud? Because I want something with a little bit of pep. And I don't know that that's a, and now it's happening where I know children now are like, they identify more with the 17th century. And say, I like that, you know, Samuel Pepys or whatever. I'm going to dress like Samuel Pepys. Everything's I'm going to be a diarist. And so they go on TikTok and they go, I'm the modern Samuel Pepys. I'm going to bury my cheese in the Great Fire. During the Great Fire, not in the Great Fire. He didn't do that on purpose. A lot of people say, what are you doing? Samuel Pepys, Great Fire, London, 1666 is coming. What are you doing? He's like, I'm making some raclette. Raclette, yep, I'm gonna scrape it up with a cracker and eat it and write a diary. Samuel Pepys, whose name is spelled Pepys. They don't say it that way. I'm daring enough to pronounce it the way it was written. His name was Shmuel, not Samuel, Shmuel Pepys. And that's what people come to the new country. He came to underground New York and changed his name. A lot of the streets, this is another thing about New York was a Dutch settlement. So a lot of the names of the street are Dutch, like Mott, I think. And like first, second, third, fourth. Walgreens, Broadway, stuff like that. Harlem. And these are all Dutch words. And to this day, that's why the Dutch have an affinity with jazz. But sometimes they get it all wrong and they get the West Coast jazz. They like West Coast jazz because Eric Dolphy moved to Europe and did mind control on people. Then he died there and his spirit got into a lot of Northern Europeans. And
to this day, this West Coast jazz now has this sort of outsized influence. And it should, you know, the Mingusy variety. Now, here's the thing. I'm now underground New York. Who's down there? Underground New York jazz. What would you think that would be? It's a lot cheesier than you think. They've got something playing here. I'm here. You can't hear it. Because, A, I'm not recording. They don't allow any kind of tape recording or anything down there. Because it's secret, and it's not even supposed to be there. And when I tell stories of it, they say, these stories are so absurd, no one will believe you. Good. Great. What's the music down there like? Meh. And I think, I'm an unpopular opinion. I might have a problem with the soprano sax. And a lot of it, and you're going, oh, that's, you know, that's crazy. I realize that. But I don't know. It just sounds, let's just drop it. But a lot of it doesn't sound as inventive as you would think. And I asked someone about that at Only Burgers. It's not what you think it is. It's a farmer's place. It's all got farm stuff, like stuff you would need to farm way back in the day because, you know, there was a lot of farmland in New York. And I asked someone there, I said, you know, why is the kind of music kind of cheesy? And they go, well, you've ever heard like pop music in France? And they go, yeah. And rap music in France? And go, yeah. You know, why is that kind of cheesy? You know, Dick Rivers. Why is there Dick Rivers? And I said, that's a good point. And you say, well, France, you know, is so sophisticated and they got such great art. You know, why is some of the music a little bit cheesy, the stuff that's popular? And I said, I don't know. Why is that? And they said, well, the people get so much beauty elsewhere and so much actual good cheese and good architecture that they need some bad stuff. They need something that, you know, is a little flimsy to remind them of their lack of self-importance. Or importance in general, rather. I said, that's very interesting. And he said, if a place is dismal, if people hate living there, they're going to produce some darn good music. And I'm telling you, darn good music. Like, if your place is really stinky, if you have a really rank neighborhood, if it smells of urine and garbage and heat and rocks that are something's wrong with them, how can something be wrong with rocks? Exactly. But, you know, if something's been soaked in desperation that long, even the stones, they get an attitude. They get a sort of a ripeness to them. Those places, they produce something real. Did you know on the ceilings of some of these amazing places, there was a layer of grime? They didn't know what it is. They tested it, and it's nicotine. So I'm telling you, cigarette smoke, it's gotten all in these things. And when it does, people get really discouraged, and so they blow notes nobody's ever blown before, and they invent things that will help them transcend, right? I got to get out of this place, but we don't want to get out of this place in this tunnel. No. I like my shop, just burgers. I like being in the arcade right here. I like the architecture. I don't want to leave. And so I don't want music that pulls me out there. I want to be sedated. I want furniture music. I want something that just kills the occasional sharp voice in my head that makes me, you know, more discontented than I want to be and I ought to be. And I need a little bit of noise, pleasant noise, noise that's warmed up, you know, like brown noise, but closer to music. And so I don't know, some range that I just like. And I say, well, how can that be satisfied by the soprano sax? That can't possibly be in the range that, calm down, sir, or I'm going to have to ask you to leave Just Burgers. I want to look around because I'm going to know what kind of things that farmers had. What kind of things did farmers have back then? Tell me. And they said, well, tills, go on. Hose, like a garden hose? No. Tiller. I don't know what you're saying. Tiller for the soil. They had soil. Tiller. Sir, you're cutting out a little bit on me, and I don't know. What else did they have? Wide brim hats. wide-brim hats. Where did they get the straw? Straw merchants. Where did the straw merchants come from? And the Netherlands. The Dutch? Dutch straw merchants. And what was the origin of the straw? Dried up tulip stalks. And that's interesting. I did not know that. Now, other people discovered New York. It's interesting that Chinese people got there because what a trek. So to honor them, they said, we're naming this town after you. And then people like Peter Stuyvesant was like, I've been here. Well, you know, come on. What are some neighborhoods that there's below ground neighborhoods that are named after other people, like the Dimples? The Dimples got here at the same time as the Vanderbilts, but they didn't do horrible things and they didn't say, you know, to hell with the poor or whatever. The Dimples were like, we have a little bit of something that we brought with us from the old country, and that is diamonds that we stole from the church. And we are bringing those to the old country. We'd like to put them to good use. And the first thing they thought is we'll make watches, because they thought watches took diamonds. And I think they still do. Some do. And so they brought the diamonds, and they got wealth. They would make trips up either through Chinatown, or they would come up through, like I said, the Singer. Where is the Singer now? Okay, so you know where City Hall is. So, no, scratch that. That's the world, New York World Building. Listen, here's another entrance. So imagine you're at City Hall, all right? There's the old New York Times building is still there. Next to that was the Tribune Building. The Tribune Building is now the Pace Tower. And next to that was the New York World Building, which is now a little like loop-y-loop that you use to get onto the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, that is one of the entrances. So if you could get in that little loop-y-loop there, there is still something down under there, under the New York World Building. There's an entrance there. So just facing City Hall, like look to your right down Park Row. And that was, but the old Newspaper Row, it was called. And that's an entrance. I'm trying to think of other ones that are a little sneaky that you can pop in and maybe nobody's going to notice you. There's all businesses in there, too. I don't want to name some because then, you know, everybody came in my shop. Harry White. Harry White's New York. I've only been there a couple times, but most of it beneath ground and not in the subways. I'm telling you, there is an older one. To get there, you have to transcend a lot of things. You have to have an understanding. So you have to look at New York, and you have to see all the grandeur, and then you have to see all the horror and the what's all over time. And then you internalize all that. And it's really like when they take you on these trips, you say, you're going to dose this poison, and then you're going to vomit it up, and then you're going to trip. And then after that, you're going to be like, no more for me. And then no more for me will be your philosophical attitude going forward. So that's what you do. We get granted this ceremony. We come here. We ingest New York City. Oh, my God, that's too much. All that over time, all the poverty and the suffering, and not just that, but like the sadness of disappointment. Oh, and frustration and fear. Fear, levels of fear never known to man before, during, or after. And it's also very pretty. Parts are very pretty. You eat all that, and then you puke it up because you can't digest that. It's not digestible. And then you trip, and you have all these visions of what that means, and you transform, and then you don't ever need to do that particular act again because you have achieved the state of God. No more. I don't need. That's fine. I understand. And that will, first of all, that will also keep you from moving there. But I would like to have you experience that so you can come beneath ground and your expectations will be, they're gone. It's not even, to say expectations, it's not even relevant to how we live our lives under here. It's not even relevant. Because we don't expect, because we don't know what we need from one minute to the next. We'll know it, I guess, when we see it. It is like shopping for a gift. I'm going to wander around, and the idea I'm going to keep in my head is I'm looking for a gift. I'm going to buy Ken. Ken said he listened to the show on his way home. Now I'm seeing it in my head, and I was, hi, what are you doing? What are you doing? You should drive by some building that you usually don't, just to sort of trigger your imagination. Go drive by some old or weird building and either imagine what used to be there. That's a fun one. Maybe something that used to be there in your lifetime and that you struggle to recall. That's a good exercise for all of us. I remember what used to be there. What? Something else. What was it? A thing? We used to go there with my mother. What was it? Oh, it had a... What was it? What size building? Oh, give me a minute. That happens. It's so strange. Now imagining a world and trying to recall. Like, I can't... They do that to George R.R. Martin or something. They go... They must do that, like at fan things. Do you remember when Glimpins went to Glimpapa Pfeifen? He goes, no, honestly, I don't. So many books. So probably doesn't. I know they would ask Star Trek people like that, you know, and they'd have to explain, I wasn't there every day for every episode. And I haven't even watched them. I've been in so many, I will be in a lot of Star Trek in the future. I feel like that, but you're so old. I do have a time machine. And I just really feel like I'm going to, I've felt since I was young, I said, you're going to at some point be on the television. On proper television, not cable. But then I outlived cable and television and everything. Now I don't even know what that, now I'm not sure. I'm going to die on top of a literal television or something. Oh, the prophecy came true. He's on the TV. And everyone sees him. That could be. I don't know. I don't really want to be seen by everybody. I'd love to be seen by myself. That's really ultimately what you can do down here. It's almost like a mirror, except the things you're seeing are little shops that represent, oh, I don't know, stuff you desire, things in your imagination. Like, I use puns to help me see myself. So if I say burgers, I say, what else does it mean? Something like that. If I say, banjo. All right. Is there a banjo in the banjo store? No. What's in the banjo store?
Australia memorabilia.
Australia memorabilia? Why is that?
Banjo the person.
Oh, Banjo with a capital B.
Yes.
Did he do Waltzing Matilda?
Don't sing it! Don't sing it!
Don't sing it or don't sing Kookaburra. They'll take your children, I think. I don't know. I think that happened to... Men in Pants or whatever. I forget the 80s already. Oh my gosh, it just was. It just happened and I forgot it all. We used to be able to, I remember kids would come in the store and I would say, hey, I got Beavis and Butthead memorized. And fun stuff like that. Not anymore though. I don't know how children relate. How you relate to children that come into your store in the mall anymore. But that's how we did it, at least. You know, cultural touchstones. And there's a lot of that down here. Not only cultural touchstones, but ones that you put your face on and mouth on. And I had this book as a child, and it might have been one of those Richard Scarry things, and they had the Blarney Stone in it. Now, the Blarney Stone resides in, I believe, Ireland. And, maybe there once was a stone in Limerick where everybody was, and you go up to this tower and they hang you by your feet or something upside down, and you put your mouth on the stone where everybody else has all licked it and put their mouth all on it for years and everything like that, and you can't get any disease I don't know why, but you kiss it, and then nothing you say will ever be true. That's where they get the Blarney. So everything that will be a lie coming out of your mouth. It's the Blarney Stone. Blarney means BS. Some people, they get physical, just excrement will come out. Lie, they're lying. Now, I thought, why would anybody want to do that for hygiene purposes? And also, you know, chewing gum rock in Stone Mountain, Georgia, right next to the Confederate people on the wall. They got a mountain of racists, and then next to it, mountain of used gum. Beautiful juxtaposition. I would keep them there and say, just look at people. You know, if you said, look at this, if the aliens come and offer, say, well, you want to come with us? Just come here and meditate for a moment and go, yes, I would like to go with you. And go, you might be eaten. And you say, go ahead, go for it. Will I get to live in some kind of fun condo? High-rise condo. Do it. We're doing it. I love if a lot of covenants that already have that for condos have that in there. Say, you might be eaten. Say, it's okay, you know, especially if you don't pay your condominium dues. Oh, my goodness. Oh, is that the end of the time together? Oh, that marathon was good, too. Y'all blessed this station so much. What station? WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9. Did I get it right? See, I say that 91.9 part first usually. And online at WFMU.org worldwide. Does it count if you put extra words in it? I think it does. It'd be stupid if it didn't. It counts. I did the top of the hour thingy station. You know what you're listening to. Government knows. Just like say, oh, don't say, you know, or talk about putting a name in your blurbin. No, I won't do any of that. Bless your heart. You're so, what a blessing you are. Also, I don't want to hurt anybody. Actually, I mean, I don't want to cause pain or discomfort. Well, maybe a little. See y'all next week.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony. Thank you.
What I need,
sugar in the morning. Oh.